Will it be another term for El Salvador's Bitcoin president? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Luke Wilson, in for Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Voters in El Salvador head to the polls on Sunday with a landslide win all but guaranteed for President Nayib Bukele. He's transformed the country in his first term with a crackdown on gangs that's taken El Salvador from being a country notorious for crime and violence to having one of the lowest homicide rates in the Americas. But critics say he's been able to do that by ignoring civil liberties and human rights. There are also concerns about the economy. Christine Murray is the Mexico and Central America correspondent for the Financial Times. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Luke.
So how big a part is the economy playing in this election?
Because of the improvements in security, which for a long time polls showed were, you know, the number one concern for a lot of voters, now the main concern people have is the economy. Food inflation has been high. People are really feeling the squeeze of the cost of living and, you know, hoping that by voting for Nayib Bukele again, you know, he might be able to turn that situation around like he did with security. And foreign investment has been pretty weak in recent years. It was actually negative in 2022, recovered a bit last year, but still well below neighboring countries and growth. Similarly, the economy is going to grow about 2% this year, much less than its neighbors, Honduras and Guatemala. And when I was there speaking to voters, people said that they wanted kind of more and better work opportunities that were higher paid. And that's partly so that, you know, they don't feel that they have to migrate to the US in order to have a better life.
And Nayib Bukele has almost become famous on the world stage because he invested a lot of money in Bitcoin. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Yes. So in 2021, at a conference in Miami, President Nayib Bukele announced that Bitcoin would be made legal tender. This was a surprise announcement. Within months, you know, Congress had approved a bill after just a few hours of discussion. His party controls Congress. And by September, it was in force. So, you know, this was part of his attempt to sort of change the image of El Salvador as a sort of poor and violent country into a more modern, forward-looking economy. But in practice, it's barely used more than 2 years on.
And so if he is re-elected, as we're expecting on Sunday, do you think the economy will play a bigger part in his second term in the same way that maybe the crackdown on violence has in the first?
Yeah, I think given that it's the top voter concern, you know, clearly there's expectations there. And one of the determining factors on what happens to El Salvador's economy is going to be whether the government is able to secure a deal with the IMF. So there are discussions ongoing now, and the government has said they expect there to be a deal after the election, but there are a couple of important sort of points of negotiation. One of them is actually Bitcoin, because the IMF at board level has said, you know, that countries shouldn't make it legal tender. So the question is whether the two sides can come to an acceptable deal for both of them.
Christine Murray, Mexico and Central America's correspondent for Financial Times. Thanks for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks, Luke.
Let's do the numbers. And shares in the automaker Ferrari closed up more than 12% after its Formula One team announced that seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton will join them from Mercedes at the end of the 2024 season. And European stocks have opened positive across the board. The Stoxx 600 index is up 0.6%. It's off the back of a strong close for US stocks, with Meta and Amazon posting better-than-expected quarterly results. It may have all started in a galaxy far, far away, nearly 50 years ago in fact, but buying and selling vintage Star Wars merchandise is now a huge and growing market worth millions of dollars. The BBC's Rowan Bridge investigates.
Welcome to Echo Base Live, the largest vintage Star Wars toy fair in the UK, where people like me come to buy back our childhood memories.
For a summer, me and my friends were just on Tatooine. It was just an amazing, idyllic childhood.
It takes me back to simpler times. Me and my brother loved it. It was the only thing we really connected with.
In 1977, when Star Wars burst onto the big screen with a slew of iconic characters like Luke Skywalker flying to and from planets like Tatooine, it helped launch the modern era of movie merchandising.
Here's the new Star Wars Death Star space station that you put together. Action figures each sold separately.
Those figures and playsets that once sold for a few dollars can now go for prices that seem out of this world. At the centre of the toy fair, in a protective case and specially lit, is the holy grail of Star Wars collecting, a prototype figure of the bounty hunter Boba Fett. It's owned by collector Martin Schofield.
There's probably 120 of these in the world. They didn't release to the public because there was a choking hazard. We'd estimate that's anywhere between £100,000 and £150,000.
That's around $130,000 to $190,000. To understand how we ended up here, take a trip with me back to the 1970s. When Star Wars came out, movie merchandising existed, but nothing like the scale of today. In what turned out to be a lucrative move, the film's director, George Lucas, took a lower fee for the film in order to hold on to the merch rights, effectively the right to put Star Wars on everything from cereal packets to plastic toys. Tim Effler was part of the team at the toy makers Kenner that worked on Star Wars.
There are so many of the elements that made it natural for a toy line. You had these fantastic vehicles, you had villains and heroes that were easy to execute and present in toy form. And the story was really straightforward and easy to follow for the most part.
Now those kids like me, who first played with the toys in the 70s and 80s, are grown men and women, old enough to have the cash to buy back the figures they once played with and discarded.
The older you get, you know, you've paid off your mortgage, your kids have moved out, you've got excess money.
Nick Dykes is a Star Wars specialist at the UK auction house, Vectis.
Demand drives up the prices, so if you've got a few people that are all looking for the same thing, if you've got that thing, you know, you can charge what you want, really, within reason.
Being a Mandalorian's not just learning about how to fight.
The value of Star Wars and its merchandising hasn't been lost on Disney, who now own the franchise. They've been busy producing new films and TV projects, like this trailer for the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian.
This is the way.
These shows are introducing the next generation of fans to the Star Wars universe, the potential vintage collectors of the future. I'm the BBC's Rowan Bridge for Marketplace.
And remember we told you last month about Dire Straits frontman Mark Knopfler putting dozens of his guitars and amps up for auction? Well, they've now sold for more than $11 million, a lot more than expected. I'm Luke Wilson with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.